Glenn, and it's good to see you back up here after all she had going through there the last few months. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to Psalm 127. I'll read this one. I'll read a few others after we pray. Psalm 127, somewhat familiar passage. Psalm 127. Just a couple of verses at the beginning of this. It's a small psalm, but I'm just going to read the first two verses here. All right. Good to see you tonight. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Another word for that sleep is rest. Let me go back and read it now one more time. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. But what if the Lord does build a house? What if the Lord is our watchman? Well, the fact is, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. In other words, worry is not going to make the difference. If the Lord builds the house, then a house will be built. If the Lord is watching the city, then the city is watched. The reason we can rest is because he's on duty all the time. The reason we don't rest is because we don't have him on duty. We're on duty ourselves. We're trying to build the house ourselves. Now, he may ask us to do some of the work, but unless he's doing the building, it's going to be a mess. It's vain for you to rise up early. Well, I get up, I got to take care, man. I'll tell you what, I've been sleeping all night, man. I can't sleep, so I might as well get up here and take care of this thing. Or to sit up late. I don't know. I just got to figure out this thing here. Eat the bread of sorrows. Oh, me. Oh, my. And the turmoil. And the agitation on the inside. Why? Because he giveth his beloved, and we're his beloved, sleep. Let me pray, and we're going to talk for a few minutes here this evening on this topic. Rest, knowing that God knows best. Rest, knowing that God knows best. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the sweetness of our relationship with you. Thank you that you call us your beloved. You call us your children. At times, you call us your bride. All those relationships really are a matter of you wanting to take care of us. You want us to put our hand in yours, and so often we want to pull your hand off of ours, and then we wonder why we don't have rest. Lord, I pray you speak to us tonight. Again, I don't know what the issue is in our hearts, but our Lord, I know every one of us need this. If we don't need it today, we're going to need it sometime soon. We don't want to have to need it, but it's going to be the case. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless our time here this evening. Help me be a blessing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, I talked about possessing the peace. And we went through the list there. We've got to be redeemed. We've got to be right with God. We need to rely on God. We need to request. And we need to rest. And I told you that I'm going to talk about resting. Resting is one of those hard things. You know, we want to present, the Bible says in Romans 12, we're supposed to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. A sacrifice really means to kill, to give over, to totally surrender our life to die of self, so to speak. And yet, you know how we are. We get on that altar, and the Lord speaks to our heart, and our passion wants to do it, and, you know, in a day or two later, we crawl off that altar. And before long, we've taken back what we had surrendered. Daily, we need to rest in Him. Isaiah 26:3 says this. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He says, the peace comes because our mind is on what God can do, but our mind's on what God can do because we trust him. In other words, we're saying God knows best, so I can rest knowing that God knows best. If verse goes on, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed right there on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the creator of the universe. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. Listen, God has the power to do whatever's necessary. You got a Jericho that needs to come down. Walk with him around the city, claim it, and it'll be gone. Psalm 119:164. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. You know what he's saying? All day long, it seems like I'm just telling you, you know what? You always make the right decision, Lord. You always do the right thing. You care for me, and even when I don't see it, we know that you're doing the right thing. I don't understand it sometimes, but years later, it seems like I can look back and see how God has worked, and it was just the way he wanted it to be. I was talking to Janet one day, and some things I just thought, this is what it has to be, this is the way it has to be, this had in my mind the way it has to be, and it doesn't work out. And so I have to accept it, and I sit there and get all mad about it, but just have to accept, well, I guess it's not, and then later on we find out, boy, he saved us from a problem. I thought this is what it's supposed to be, and a year down the road I see, oh my soul, boy, he pulled our feet out of the fire. It could have been like this, but it didn't happen that way because he knows best. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. You tell us what to do, and we do what you tell us to do. It works. Next verse says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall stop them from making the right forward motion, the progress they're supposed to have. So if I let God tell me what to do, I can have great peace because he's in control. It wasn't my decision. There's been a time or two when I pushed open a door. God didn't push it open. I pushed it open. And I didn't have peace until finally God kicked the door shut and I got out. Went back to where I started from and did it right. Several times in my life, I made a decision, didn't make his decision, I made my decision, and I didn't have the great peace because I wasn't doing what he had called me to do. I was doing what he wanted me to do. I was going against it. Well, it wasn't necessarily bad. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it wasn't bad or not. It wasn't what he wanted for me. Great peace have they which love to have God tell them what to do. Because when he tells us what to do, his righteous judgments will make it right. And I can have peace. Listen, this is going to sound funny. It might even sound a little bit irreverent. But the fact is, if he tells me what to do and it doesn't work out, it's his fault. I think that's kind of the fleshly way of looking at it, but this is his fault. The fact is, it's never wrong. It's always right. But if you say, well, you know what? I'm doing it because God said so, and so that's fine. And we, even if you have to say, well, if it's wrong, it's his fault. But he's never wrong. He's never wrong. I almost sang this song tonight. Like a river, Gloria says, stayed upon Jehovah. My eyes focused, planted on him. My heart resting in him. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. We do not know how the situation is going to go. But there is something we do know. That if we keep our hearts and mind on Christ Jesus will keep our hearts and minds in peace. Number one this evening, I've got four little points here I want you to hear. Let me make the statement. Number one, know that God knows best. Know that God knows best. You've got to settle that. The just are to live by faith. This is as primary, as fundamental that as you can get in the walk with Christ. If you can't, listen, if you don't trust, if you say, I can't trace his hand but trust his heart, the old song says, listen, you've got to trust that God knows best. Now, it could be we've messed up and now we got ourselves in a mess. So what do? Well, throw yourself at his mercy. Don't say, God, why did you let this happen to me? First of all, if he let it happen on it had nothing to do with you, God knows best. But if it's happening because of something you did, some kind of little sin we've been hanging on to all these years or whatever, I don't want to know what it might be. But if it's our fault, then our business is to fall at his mercy. Who knows? Maybe he'll have mercy. Sometimes in the Bible, he did. Sometimes he had mercy, but sometimes there was still a loss. God knows best. You can rest knowing that God knows best. Look at Romans 8. How do we know he knows best? How do you know that? You know this passage? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? How do we know whether he's doing his best? Because he loves us. Listen, he loves my wife more than I love my wife. We ought to love her more. Hey, I may love her the most in this whole room, but whatever, I don't care how much I love her, God loves her more. God loves your children even more than you do. And God knows best. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, we think that he loves us, but there's things that could stop his love. But wait a minute, he's the Lord God. Shall tribulation. Well, I got a lot of troubles. I guess God's love is getting kind of squelched here. Somehow Satan is standing in the way. Now, he still loves. Tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We can rest because we know he knows best, and he's going to do that which is best because he loves us. Settle that. Let me show you this. This is what we think sometimes. In Luke chapter 11, if you're fast, you can turn there, and make this statement. Watch me. Our Heavenly Father does not hide scorpions in our lunch. Let me say that again. Our Heavenly Father does not hide scorpions in our lunch. Can you imagine? Isn't that silly? Can you imagine giving your kids a lunch to go to church, to go to school, and they open up the bag and they put their hand in there and they get bit by a scorpion? You see, sometimes we basically in our hearts almost accuse God of this. If I trust Him, I rest in Him, He's going to pull one over on me and I'm going to turn around and it's going to hurt me. You know what I'm saying? We think, well, I can't do that because, you know, there might be a scorpion. There might be some kind of trap in all this. I don't know. Maybe He's going to hurt me. Maybe He just forgot. We're talking about the Lord Jehovah who loves us. Luke chapter 11 says this, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, in other words, we're not, you know, the word there kind of means worthless. We're not anything like God. We're a mess. But the fact is, we have enough sense not to do this. We have enough love not to do that. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God's going to give you the power of God in your life. He's going to give you good things. God's character, listen, He loves us. He knows what's best for us. Another point here, let it be, the Lord is always with us. The Lord is always with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. When will He leave us? Never. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Even if all looks lost, has the Lord forsaken you? No! Get that in our head. The Lord has not forsaken us. Even if all looks lost. Now hang on. Have we forsaken the Lord? Maybe. So who needs a return? But he that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jeremiah 4:1 says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. He says, we can take care of this. So let me say, first of all, know that God knows best and does that which is best. Now hang on. Let me give you number two. God may calm the storm. He may fix the problem. If that is best. Because God knows what is best. So He may calm the storm. He may fix the problem if that is what is best for us. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. You know this account. Look at what's going on here. Mark chapter 4, verse 36. I'm going to start, you catch up. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that there it was now full. I mean, the water was coming to the ship, it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's what we think. And by the way, he almost wants us to think that. Because he wants us to go through this process. He knows we're going to think that. Don't you care that we're going to die here? But wait, of course he does. That needs to be settled. Of course he cares. He would care if you died. Cares not that we perish, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? It wasn't the faith that stopped the storm. He may not want to stop the storm. The problem was the fear. Fear and faith are opposites. If I have the faith, if I can trust who he is, knowing that God knows best, no matter what happens in my life, I can still rest. There's a lot of things in life we can't do anything about. In fact, I know this sounds funny, but there's been times in my life when I'm glad he brought it to that point. Because at that point, I figured there's not a thing I can do about it, so I'm not going to try to do anything about it and mess it up. I'm just going to put it in his hands and let him deal with it. It's like the time just kind of point where you just laugh. What else could happen? this happened, and this happened, and oh my soul, my boat is full. We're going down. And there's no way in the world I'm going to bail it out fast enough. So we just rest in him. Cares thou not that we perish? Of course he does. And they feared exceedingly, and he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We trust in the Lord Jehovah, who made the wind and the sea. That's who we can rest in. It's a wonderful thing when God calms the storms in mid-roar. It's a wonderful thing. It's just like, I thought we were all going to die. And it's just like almost a split second, it's done, it's over, and it's, what was that? Did you get the number of that truck that just went by? And yet here we stand alive. The Lord is Lord over all. He can calm the storm. Watch me. If calming the storm is the best thing in the grand scheme of things. So we always think that must be the case. Like I said this morning, we think peace is the absence of problems. Peace and problems coexist, but peace overwhelms the problem. We can rest in the midst of the problems. The Lord knows best. We need to know that the Lord knows best. Number two, God may calm the storm. He may fix the problem and it's all done and we go on. Number three, God may take us through the storm. He may not calm the storm. He may not stop it in mid-roar. He may take us through the storm if that is what is best. Because God knows what is best. And I can rest knowing that God knows what is best even in the storm. We may have to live through the problem. Turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Matthew chapter 14, verse 21. Let the Bible tell the story here. Matthew 14, 21. I'm going to start. You catch up. Now, these are two different accounts. These are two different times. And I think God did this. All in 3.5 years. These are two different accounts, two different issues. Verse 21, they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. And straightway, or immediately, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. So he sends them across ahead early. First time he was in the boat with them, and when the storm came up. This time they're in the boat all by themselves. So he sends them before them on the other side while he sends the multitudes away. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there all alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, middle of the night, I mean, this is a tough time, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be ye not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." He says, "Come out into the storm with me, Peter." Ride the storm out with me. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was making it way through the storm. But then he started looking at the storm. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now remember this picture. Where's Jesus? He's out in the walking on the water in the midst of the storm. Where was Peter? He was in the boat. So in the midst of the storm, he says, "Lord, if you want to see me through this storm, call me. If you say it's okay, I'll come." He gets out of the boat, the idiot. He gets out of the boat and starts walking toward Jesus in the storm. Now, if you're like me, after a while you're going to think, "This is really cool. Look at me. I'm walking in the storm. Look at, oh my soul." Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. "Lord, save me." And he reaches out his hand. But wait a minute. When he says, "Lord, save me," Jesus is here. The boat's here. Where did he say, "I'll take the storm"? If that's where Jesus is, I'll take more of the storm if that's where Jesus is. Because Jesus knows best. See, he didn't look, he didn't say, "Well, oh man, well, I know that's Jesus, but I'm going back into this piece of wood over here and get in this piece of wood and ride it out." No, he says, "It's safer for me to grab the hand of the Savior in the storm when there's nothing there to hold either one of us up but him." Amen. Then crawl back into the boat. Amen. And immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying of a truth, "Thou art the Son of God." In Mark chapter 6, verse 45, it tells the same story. But it gives another account, one little thing. When they're in the boat and it's rocking, and it's going on, the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water. And it says it was as if he was going to pass by them. Jesus. Ho! Hey, Jesus! See, he's there at a whisper of a prayer. And you know what we do? We say, "Well, I don't have time to call out for Jesus. I'm drowning in the boat. I'm in a storm. Don't mess with me. I don't have time for God. I don't have time with a relationship with God. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm going through a storm. Instead of saying, Lord, save me. And he says, I'll get you to the calm. Sometimes, listen, God knows best. We need to know that God knows best. Sometimes God calms the storm. It does. If that's what's best. Sometimes God takes us through the storm. If that's what's best. See, he's teaching us faith in him. To trust in him. We need to be content. To be at rest. Philippians 4:11, I'll talk about this morning, but not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Why? Because God knows best, and I can rest being content because I'm exactly where I need to be. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, even if the state is Pennsylvania. And I know both how to be abased. Watch. Paul says, I know how to be in the bottom of things. And I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me because he knows best. And I can trust him because he loves us. We can rest because we have a confident expectation that God is working all things together for our good in order to conform us into his image. Sometimes I need to go through the storm. Romans 8:24, you know this. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. That was like Peter. I'm hoping on him, but there's nothing under him but a bunch of water. It doesn't hold up anybody. It doesn't hold up anybody. I can testify to that because I just started going down. But I'm going to hope in him who supersedes all the laws of nature. But we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It says, sometimes we're resting and we don't even know what to pray for. So what are we praying? How do you pray? Lord, it's yours. Take it. Take it. I need you to have it. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God knows best. That's what we're trusting. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has a plan to conform us into his image, and he knows best how to accomplish that plan. So wherever we are, we need to be content and rest in him because he knows best. Rest in the suffering. Knowing that God is working in us to strengthen us. He hasn't left us or forsaken us, but is working in us. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Just rest in him. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to this. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. No, he doesn't. He didn't care what happened. He cares for you. No, he doesn't care. He knows best. No, what can separate us from his love? Nothing. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So I got to go out and fight the devil. That's not what it says. It says, to rest in him. What are we doing? Be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be sober and vigilant about resting in him. Watch it. Here we go. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist how? Fight him and punch him in the nose. No, steadfast in the faith. Just rest in him. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Knowing that he knows best and he's working all these things together. Whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I'm the only one who has problems. God just picks on me all the time. Just such a big meanie. No, God is working in your heart like it's everybody else's heart. And he knows what's best. And he loves you. And if it's best to take you through the storm, then that's what he's going to do. Take you through the storm. Watch. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10, make you perfect, mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God's working. Rest in his working. Now, there's a problem. If the Lord speaks to your heart, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, is there anything? Search me and try and see if there's any wicked way in my heart. I think you ought to do that. I'll try to say this where you want. There wasn't anybody here. I had a lady come in my office almost 20 years ago. She came to my office. She said, Sterling, I just don't understand. I've got this stuff I have all these things in my life that just dragging me down, and I feel like I pray and God does not hearing me, and I just don't know what to do. And I said, and this was a good person. Don't get me wrong. This is fairly well known person at the time in our church, and I said, I hate to ask this, but I said, have you sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil on your knees, got on your knees, and asked the Lord to reveal if there's any sin that needs to be confessed? I mean, just any. I don't know what it might be. And this person says, oh, no, I'm squeaky clean. If you think you stand, be careful lest you fall. She said that chills went up and down my back. I'm squeaky clean. I don't think I'd... The only time I could say, and I might say that, if I just got off my knees and confessed all my sins. But even then, I probably sinned by the time I got off my knees. You know what I mean? Just a little selfish, a little something. I'm not squeaky clean. We're not, you know. He said, I'm squeaky clean. Within a year, she committed a felony. Would never known. And by the way, you just don't wake up one morning being squeaky clean yesterday and go out and commit a felony today. There was a lot of stuff floating around in there we didn't know. So we ought to confess. We ought to ask them to search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way. But the fact is, sometimes he's just taking us through. Perfect example, Job. Job 23:8 says this. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. He's talking about God, and he's just like God has left him. It says, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He says, I can't see him ahead of me. I can't see him behind me. I can't see him on this side. I can't. It's like he's gone. I don't know why. I'm in the midst of the storm. I feel like, careth not that we perish. But he says, I do know this. He knoweth the way that I take. God knows best. When he hath tried me, he's put the pressure, he's put the heat, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. I just kept doing what he told me to do. I couldn't see him anywhere. I don't know where he is, But my prime directive is just keep doing this, and that's what I got to keep doing. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed his words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I am going to just keep doing it because that's the answer. I can't see him anywhere, but I'm going to rest in him because he knows the way. Number four, almost done. God knows best. We need to know that he knows best. God may calm the storm. God may take us through the storm. Hang on. God may prolong the storm indefinitely if the Lord knows it is best for me. You don't want to hear that, do you? I don't want to hear that. He may prolong the storm indefinitely if the Lord knows it is best for me. God, hang on. God may never resolve the problem totally. In fact, tell you the truth, if we're only willing to follow him and trust him and rest in him a portion of the way, and there's going to be an end to that, then we haven't trusted him. We just kind of took our chances. To trust him means I'm going to trust him though he slay me. Though I am dead, though I burn in the fire as the children of Israel, if not, so be it. We're not going to bow. I can rest because God loves me. And he knows what is best for me. And he says he will never leave me nor forsake me. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, coming down the end here. 2 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. He may calm the storm. He may take us through the storm. But he may prolong the storm. 2 Corinthians 12, 1. Paul speaking here and giving a testimony. He says, it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He says, the Lord is using me to do some great things. He wrote almost half the New Testament. If you give him Hebrews, that's a lot of it. I would. He says, he's going to give me revelations and visions. I'm going to be able to do a lot of things. But he says, you know, I knew a man. Of course, he's speaking about himself. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. I'm not sure how this all happened. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven where God lives. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, I can't tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, not bad words. He said he heard things that no one in all the universe have ever heard before. Heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He said, I'm not going to glory that I got to go to heaven. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to glory in. That God allows infirmities in my life. That seems crazy. See, he's resting knowing that God knows best. Hang on, look at verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Or that he heareth of me. None of you, don't think of me as I'm somebody great, Paul says. I'm just a man of like passions like you. I'm a sinner. In fact, when it comes to sinners, I'm the chief. So I know better what to do, and I still sin. If anybody should know not to sin, it should be me, Paul's saying. And I still sin. Too much is given, much is required. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Unless I get lifted up because I've been allowed to see things and to do things and to go things and have the Lord do things in my life and I get to write the word of God. He says, lest I be puffed up from all that stuff, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, I'm not going to get into what we think the thorn in the flesh is. I don't know. But I'll tell you what it was something to keep him humble. It was something to keep him, his feet down on the ground, his head out of the clouds, to see himself what he really is, just a human that God has blessed. He says, I've been allowed to do things that no one else in all of the universe ever allowed to have. And I could be a mess. He said, I know me. He said, I know me. I could be a mess. But I want God to use me. So he said, he set me a thorn in the flesh. Every morning when he wakes up, that thorn was still there. I don't know what it was, but it was there. To buffet, to kind of keep my flesh beat down. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, what you need is not more of you, but more of me. It says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, Paul prayed, you know what? I could serve you so much better if I just didn't have this thorn in my flesh. And God says, I know best. If you didn't have this thorn in the flesh, you wouldn't be worth the shoes you wear. You wouldn't be worth a hoot because you'd be so full of self that there's not a thing I could do with you. But if I just keep you beat down enough, I mean, just kind of keep it going down, keep that old flesh down, you're a tool that I can use. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So then his word says, most gladly, therefore, if that's the case, God knows best. I'm going to rest in the fact that he knows best. I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Man, I'm glad he keeps me down because you wouldn't believe the things the Lord allows me to do. You, it would be amazing what God has allowed, the things we're going to write. I don't know. It seems like every day there's some kind of amazing thing that God sees me through. I should have been dead. They stoned me. But I went to heaven. And I saw things that no one in the world should even be talking about yet. We can't handle that yet. But God brought me down. He's using me. But to keep me usable, he has to keep me in my place. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If I get out of the storm, I'm lost. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong. It's almost as if he wakes up and says, well, the storm's still there. Yes. Because he'll keep me in my place so that I'm usable. I become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you for nothing. Am I behind the very chiefest of apostles, though I be nothing? Paul rested in the infirmities, knowing that the Lord knows best. He is in the best position to have the power of God in his life and be blessed when he is under the attack of the thorn in the flesh. Rest in the thorn. If that's where God knows is best for you. Rest knowing that God knows best. The best thing for me is to be humble before God because God resists the proud. He gives the grace to the humble. And if the best way for me to stay humble is to stay in the storm, then I should rest in the storm because when I am weak, then I'm strong. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Grand river washing down from the snow-capped mountains in the fresh water and rippling down through the stones. And it gushes through. He says, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. It washes over me. over all, victorious in its bright increase. Perfect. Yet it floweth fuller every day. It's everything I need, and yet it flows higher. It's more every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Every joy or trial falls from above. Traced upon our dial by the Son of Love, we may trust Him fully, all for us to do. And they who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. Rest, knowing that God knows best. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us. Thank you for your love that never ends. Thank you for your mercy that endures forever. Thank you that you're trustworthy, you're honest, you're pure, you're righteous, you're true. And we can trust you for all that you do. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.